Chapter 9. The Boy in the Red Sweater. When Bobby got up the next morning, Peter and Phyllis were sitting on top of the yard wall. "Hey, Bobby," shouted Peter. "Did you hear about the paper chase tomorrow? They are going to run along the railway line." Bobby had heard about it, but Phyllis hadn't. She didn't even know what a paper chase was. Bobby explained that it was a kind of race. One person, who is called a hare, runs ahead and drops small pieces of paper behind him. Others, called hounds, follow the tray of paper and try to find the hare. The next morning, Mother let them take their lunch and go out for the day to see the paper chase. They sat on the hill looking over the railway line. They saw the hare run along the line and disappear into the tunnel. Soon after, following the little pieces of paper the hare had dropped, came 30 hounds. The three children counted them as they passed. Each hound disappeared into the tunnel. The last one was a tall boy in a red sweater. Once the last boy had entered the tunnel, they climbed over the hill to watch the boys come out the other side. They impatiently waited for a very long time, but finally the hare came, very slowly, out of the tunnel. "Look," said Peter. "Now for the hounds." Very soon came the hounds, and they were also going slowly and seemed very tired. They watched everyone come out of the tunnel, but they didn't see the boy in the red sweater. They waited and waited and waited. However, the boy in the red sweater did not appear. "We must have missed him," said Phyllis. However, Bobby and Peter insisted that he had not come out. "Let's get down to the tunnel mouth," said Peter. "Perhaps we shall see him coming along from the inside." But there was still no sign of the boy in the red sweater. "You know," replied Peter, "I think he had an accident."
"Oh, don't be silly," cried Bobby.
"Well, I'm going to look in the tunnel," said Peter, and he went. Naturally, his two sisters followed, and so the three went on into the tunnel, Peter leading with a candle to light the way. At last, in the distance, they saw the boy in the red sweater. His back was against the wall, and his eyes were shut.
"Oh," said Phyllis, "he's dead."
"No, I'm sure he's just hurt," said Peter. And then the boy in the red sweater sighed and opened his eyes.
"Are you injured?" asked Peter.
"I'm afraid so," he replied. "I think I've broken my leg."
"We saw you go into the tunnel, but we didn't see you go out, so we came looking for you," said Peter with pride.
"You're quite brave," remarked the boy.
"Oh, that's nothing," said Peter with modesty. "Do you think you can walk if we help you?"
"I'll try," said the boy. He did try to stand, but he almost fainted from the pain. Bobby volunteered to stay with the boy while the others went for help. She learned that his name was Jim and that he attended school in Maidbridge. However, it was difficult to go on talking in the dark, and very soon she fell into silence. Peter and Phyllis walked down the tunnel. It seemed very, very long, but finally they saw what looked like a pinhole in a bit of black paper. It was daylight. The pinhole gradually got larger, and after another 20 steps, they were out in the sunshine. In the distance, they could see a farm. Phyllis and Peter walked to the farm, where they found two helpful farm workers who agreed to carry the boy out of the tunnel. Bobby asked them to take Jim to Three Chimneys. Mother was writing a story about a princess when Bobby ran in.
"Oh, Mother," she cried, "we found a boy in the tunnel, and he's broken his leg, and they're bringing him here."
"He ought to be taken home to his mother."
"His mother's dead," said Bobby, "and his father lives far away. Oh, Mother, please be nice to him. I told him I was sure you'd take care of him."
Mother did all she could to make Jim feel comfortable and sent Peter to get the doctor. Jim's leg was broken, but Dr. Forrest was able to set it without too much difficulty. After the doctor had left,
Mother went to her room to write a letter to the boy's grandfather. Peter went up a few moments later and asked if he could speak with her.
"Yes, dear," said Mother. "Anything wrong?"
"Don't write to Jim's grandfather. Can't we keep Jim until he's well?"
"But Peter," said Mother, "his family will worry about him."
"But," complained Peter, "I don't have any boys to talk to."
"Yes," said Mother, "but I have to do what's proper."
"We could have so much fun," replied Peter.
"I've no doubt of it," said Mother, "but Jim needs things we can't afford, and he should have a nurse."
"Can't you nurse him, Mother?"
"Oh, Peter, you know I can't do nursing and my writing as well. I must write to his relatives and teachers."
"I suppose so," said Peter, abandoning all efforts to persuade his mother.
After breakfast the next morning, a loud knock came at the door. They expected it to be the doctor, but they quickly realized that it wasn't. They didn't see the visitor's face, but his voice sounded familiar. They listened at the door, trying to guess who it could possibly be. At long last, they heard their mother's voice.
"Jim's grandfather is here," called Mother. "Tidy yourselves up, then go to the dining room."
When they entered the dining room, they were amazed to see their own old gentleman.
"This is Jim's grandfather, Mr.," said Mother, giving the old gentleman's name.
"You're not going to take Jim away, are you?" pleaded Peter.
"Not yet," said the old gentleman, smiling. "Your lovely mother says he can stay here, and she will nurse him herself."
"But what about her writing?" asked Peter, before anyone could stop him.
"There won't be any food if Mother doesn't write."
The old gentleman looked sympathetically at Mother, then back at the children.
"Your mother, my dears, will give up writing for a little while and become the head nurse of my hospital."
"Oh," said Phyllis, feeling confused. "Will we have to leave Three Chimneys and move somewhere else?"
"No, no, darling," said Mother hurriedly.
"Three Chimneys is the hospital," said the old gentleman, "and my unlucky grandson Jim will stay until his leg heals."
"I'm so glad," said Peter.
The old gentleman rose.
"Well, I should catch my train."
"Take good care of your mother, my dears," he said. "She's a noble and devoted woman. Will Bobby accompany me to the gate?"
At the gate, he stopped and said, "You're a good child, my dear. I got your last letter. When I read about your father's case in the newspapers at the time, I had my doubts. I've been trying to find out things and gather information, and I think I should have some positive news soon. I am hopeful I can resolve this for you."
"Oh," said Bobby with emotion.
"Yes, but keep your secret a little longer. We don't want to upset your mother unnecessarily, do we?"
"Oh, no," said Bobby quickly. "And you really don't think Father did it, do you?"
"My dear," he said, "I'm absolutely certain he didn't."